How have you not seen this?
Seen this. As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today I'm joined by my friend Justin Golak.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
And today we watched Aliens, film 1986, sequel to Ridley Scott's Alien, Sigourney Weaver, Michael Biehn, Bill Paxton, I almost said Bill Hudson, a whole lot of people. Really great movie, sci-fi action, James Cameron's big film after the first Terminator. Amazing movie, amazing sequel. So Justin, how have you not seen this?
Well, yeah, I feel like I saw this movie when I was a kid, like maybe like 8, with my dad. But it was on TV, so it was commercials, a lot of stuff was cut out.
Of course.
And I think it qualifies as I have not seen this because I don't remember anything about it. And since we've watched it, I'm like, I don't remember any of that. So I think it's still a first-time view. And yeah, that's the only reason. I don't know. I recently saw Alien, the first one, for the first time like a year ago.
Amazing movie.
And I've been meaning to watch this one. I don't know. Just things like this. It's like, what was this, 86, you said?
Yeah.
So I was like 2 when it came out.
Yeah.
So it kind of like, some of that stuff that became classic you saw, like I've seen Terminator and all those movies. So it's like, those ones that came out when you were younger, like some of them come in, some of them don't. And then you try to, you try to catch the ones you can. So I'm glad I've caught up on this one.
Likewise. Cool. So then, what did you think overall of the movie? Did you like it?
I thought it was awesome. I miss, like this feels like very Predator to me.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's like Marines versus aliens. Like, why don't they do that anymore? There's some stuff that I don't know why they don't do in movies. Like, it seems now if there's space hunter guys, they're all like, beep, boop, 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 like high tech.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have just, like, grunty military types. Yeah. I don't know, I like the Predator guys a little bit better, but I still like this movie a lot. But yeah, I dug it. I thought it was good action. There was still some good tonal stuff from the first Alien, where it was kind of quiet and creepy, but obviously this one was a lot more action-oriented. But yeah, I thought great tone, great action, good story. I think that, I mean, practical effects still get me super hard.
Yeah.
So anytime I can see those done well in an older movie, it's just a good day. So.
That's awesome. That actually, two really great points you bring up that have come up in past episodes. One, just the fact that movies like this don't get made anymore.
Nope.
Like, I can't even think of the last, like, Predators. The most recent Predator sequel was the closest thing to a movie like that. And that's, like, they, for whatever reason, decided, hey, let's keep doing, and the second point, the practical effects.
Yeah.
Because the new Predator movie looks fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, because it's guys in costumes, so it's not all this CGI horse shit.
Guys in costumes will always be awesome. It's what I always say, like, even if it doesn't look real, you know it's real.
Yeah.
Like, even if it looks like not like a real alien, like, you know it's a physical thing existing that these people are interacting with. It keeps you in the movie more. It's weird. I think so much CGI looks so bad. And it hasn't gotten much better. For, like, giant things.
Yeah,
you know? For, like,
not
full characters or full monsters. It looks so sheen and weird. I think we need to, like, maybe come as a society and be like, we're not going to be able to do it.
No.
Let's keep it. Let's keep getting it better for little things and keep, like, making things better and better. But I think for monsters and stuff, you need puppets and guys in suits.
Yeah, and I know we mentioned this before we started watching the movie. My friend Matt brought up Prometheus, the sort of spiritual prequel to Alien or whatever. It's a dog shit movie. It's one of those ones, like, if you can Redbox it or whatever and you're not doing anything, check it out. But, like, certainly don't go out of your way to see it. But they err on the side of CG, and it suffers for it.
Yeah, it takes you out of things, man. It really does.
Like, I honestly, I can't think. The most recent Predator sequel excluded, I can't think of a lot that's topped things like Jaws or the Predator and Alien movies.
Yeah.
Or, like, even Jurassic Park. Like, the first one. Like, nothing.
Yeah, I saw Jurassic Park in 3D. It holds up so hard.
Absolutely.
So hard.
And we're 20 years past that point, and our movies look like shit when they do these kinds of characters.
See,
like,
that's why I don't understand the direction we've gone, right? Because when did Jurassic Park come out? Like, 96? 93. So we were getting to the point where it was like, all right, man, at our best, we could do, like, full dinosaurs with puppets and a little bit of computers. We're like, really nailing it. I don't know. It seemed like right around then, rather than saying, all right, well, let's make puppets even better, sprinkle in some CG, and we could do Jurassic Park movies all the time. We could do it with action, with sci-fi, with all this stuff. But then instead, they were like, okay, instead of taking the technology that's almost perfect and perfecting it, we're going to take this brand new technology, and you're going to have to suffer through 20 years of us learning to use it.
Yeah,
you know, I don't understand, like, why not just keep using puppets and stuff while CG's growing? Like gradually meld more CG into the real effects until the CG's ready to stand on its own. Why did it, like, late 90s, we're just like, nope, we're all digital now, fuck all those other things,
yeah.
And now, like, we're just gonna have to suffer while we learn, like, 20 years. People, can I say fuck?
People are lazy. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Don't worry. It's marked as explicit on iTunes.
Okay,
so
well, that's why, like, I knew, like, I knew we can, like, legally, but then I've done podcasts with some people that are like, I don't want the explicit tag, so don't swear.
Don't hold back. Okay. And also, another thing that's come up several times, almost every other episode I do, somebody is like, oh, well, can we talk about plot points? Yes. If you're watching this and you haven't seen the movie we're talking about, fuck you.
It seems
like we can't talk about the movie without talking about the movie.
This
so
seems like a podcast where we're talking about the movie. If you're coming in not expecting that, that's your fault.
Yeah. Now, certainly, I'll try to avoid other things. So yeah. We mentioned you haven't seen Alien 3 or Alien 4, so, like,
no,
we'll steer away from those things. But yeah, as far as aliens, the entire thing is fair game.
Yeah.
And yeah, you make some great points with practical effects. I remember, not to get too much more sidetracked, I was watching some of the, like, behind-the-scenes stuff for Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
Which, not really a CGI-heavy movie. There's a deleted scene where they use a CGI sheep, and they said it cost them, like, $3,000 or $4,000, like, for that effect. When, what, a couple hundred bucks you could have rented a sheep for the day?
Here's my most inexcusable uses. Blood, bullets,
yes,
and explosions. Absolutely. Like, and cars. Even cars. Cars, like, I just think, like, squibs and blowing up stuff is, like, the cheapest thing to do, relatively,
yeah,
right?
Squibs are fucking amazing.
Squibs are, like, a couple cents. You could just take a, like, if you're using a car in a movie, and you, if it's, like, a nice car, you could just use, like, a skeleton car. Like, you just need the mold.
The frame, yeah.
You just need dummy cars. Gasoline is cheap. Just blow it up, man. It's, like, I just can't believe that it's a cost thing.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's some logistics, but I don't, I just can't remember there a time in the 90s or 80s when people were like, man, these explosions are just, they're too hard to do, they're too expensive, and they look so bad. Blood is so cheap and easy, and it looks so bad. CGI blood looks so bad. That little mist of red.
Yeah, well, the, a perfect point you bring up there. I was just thinking, when you mentioned the blood, The Departed, recent movie, like, 2007, 6 years ago. All the blood in that, CG, like, look, it's been 6 years. You haven't seen The Departed. Tough shit.
When Leonardo you didn't give any plot points away. People should expect that people die in that movie. I don't think that's a spoiler.
Well, case in point. But, all right, well, sorry. I'll spare you this time, but only because Golak sort of maybe intervened on your behalf. But when one of the major characters right at the end gets shot, like, out of nowhere, it's, like, that really obvious, like, digital blood.
Yeah.
The fucking scene in The Godfather where there's, like, this really amazing shoot-up scene, like, where a guy just gets riddled with bullets, and it's squibs, and it looks so much better than a movie made 40 years after.
That's even worse, because here's the thing, too, like, I'm trying to think of one that did it well, like Rambo uses a lot of, like, CG, but they also do with, like, with practical, like, or when I say Rambo, I mean, like, Rambo 4, but it's called Rambo.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that one uses a good combo, you know, where they do a lot of, like land squibs and then fill in the blood and stuff.
Yeah.
I think, like, when you do it with, like, the whole movie, you can get used to it. Also, it does that good blending like we talked about, like that Jurassic Park style.
Yeah.
But I think it's so weird in, like, not, like, action-heavy movies like The Departed, because it's like, if you see the whole movie, you can kind of adjust your brain and be like, all right, this is the style, that's what blood looks like in this universe. Yeah. You can kind of, but then when it's like just like
seven people get shot, yeah, when it's the
just
movie.
Right, when it's just like people talking and stuff, like you're just really in a very realistic world where it's just cops and robbers, and then this dude gets blown up by a computer in the head, and you're like, that doesn't look right in this world, you know? So I agree, it's weird.
Yeah, all really good points. let's bring it back. But no, like, really good stuff, and that's, I definitely like getting into those, like, overall areas.
I knew you'd agree with me, too, that's why I brought it up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm so for practical
I think
effects.
We nerd towards the same direction as far as our action, so.
Yes, absolutely. That being said, you talk about the Predator vibe, I really like that in this movie, like, you get attached to the characters over time.
For sure.
Which is really cool, especially Michael Biehn, who, fucking amazing actor, so underutilized. Like
he had a little run because he was Kyle Reese, right?
Yeah, was Kyle Reese in the very first Terminator, and then of course Johnny Ringo in Tombstone, which he's so fucking good in. But like there was The Rock, which like he's in that for 3 minutes, which is a crying shame, and then he's in Planet Terror almost a decade after that.
Yeah,
but then he's just very sparse. Like he's in like movies, but like. He can clearly carry an action film. Like, he can carry a movie.
He's he's just not big enough, you know? That kind of... He grew up like that, though. I mean, I don't mind it, but you could tell, like, what... I mean, Bruce Willis was, like, really the only one to make it, not being a giant dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I think they were just like, we already got our Bruce Willis, Kyle Reese, sorry.
Which is unfortunate. although, he did go on to be in the much-joked-about Navy SEALs.
I have not seen that.
Neither have I. I know it exists solely for the Clerks reference, pretty much.
Okay, okay.
And I've actually seen it in several video stores, just sitting there. I think it's like him and Tom Berenger, maybe, or Charlie Sheen. It's somebody. It's
Tom Berenger is Snipers, and then that straight to video franchise.
Maybe it's Charlie Sheen and Navy SEALs. It's somebody along
that
the
sounds
line.
Right.
Like,
that
like
sounds
a Treat
right.
Williams, like from The Substitute or whatever, something like that.
I can't. If there's a girl listening to this, she was just like, "What are those
movies
that they spoke about as if they were just like these canon films that everyone should know about?" Like,
Louis Gossett Jr. Look him up, ladies.
The Sniper franchise, clearly common knowledge.
Navy SEALs. Let's talk about another actor, okay. Paul Reiser.
Yeah,
as
I was just about
the villain in this.
Dude, Paul Reiser plays an awesome scumbag in this
movie.
He's
so good.
Little, just a greasy guy, and I dug it.
Yeah, and like you were saying, this is one I remember when I was a kid, like kind of catching snippets of it, but of course, like my big introduction to Paul Reiser was Mad About You.
Yeah.
So I was like, I think like I went and rewatched it for the first time, maybe in middle school or high school. And I was like, hey, this is the guy that's kind of a lovable dope around Helen Hunt. Oh, God, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, and he's so good.
He played, because that's kind of what the whole time I was watching it, I was like, oh, Paul Reiser, like, I wonder what he's going to be like in this movie. And because they kind of intro him as just kind of a guy, and then he gets sleazier and sleazier, and it's nice. He did well. He did really good in this movie.
And that's another thing this movie does really well, I think, is like, kind of misdirection with like character motivation.
Yeah,
because like you really like up until like right before the scene where he betrays Ripley, like you think he's an okay guy, like you think he genuinely has like the best interest of everyone, but then he's just a company man.
And we talked about like tone and stuff, but I think this is, I feel like even before I saw it, I feel like it got a lot of guff for being such a takeaway from the first Alien, because it was like Ridley Scott, James Cameron, and then he totally like ripped it apart and put in his James Cameron-ness. But I think there was enough nods to the first one, and that was another one.
Like the
first one was very kind of motivated by this like, we don't care about the crew. There's this company that just cares about the money, and they'll kill the crew for it.
Yeah,
I think the Paul Reiser character embodied that, so that's why I think there was enough connection to the first movie that I don't know why people are so upset. I think Reiser did a good job of that.
Holy shit! Having just recently been laid off, I am all for that. Hey, corporations are fuckbags element in my movies. Like that's so good, and it does. It rings true. And another part on that aspect that I really like. I like when a franchise can do that. That's why I love the Mission Impossible movies so much, is because like there's been a different director behind each one. So like for better or worse, they're different kinds of films.
Yeah.
And like, even the Alien movies. Like, the first one is very much, like, that kind of subtle, like, horror. Then yeah. we've got action. The third one, I mentioned earlier, I need to rewatch it again. Because I remember watching it and fucking hating it. But David Fincher directed it, and I love David Fincher.
What else has he done?
Like, Zodiac, Fight Club, oh, Seven, okay. Social Network. Yeah. Like, Fincher's a good director.
Man, and it's like, check it out.
And there were aspects of it I liked. It's definitely a different kind of movie. And then Alien Resurrection was...
Is that with Winona Ryder?
Yes, that's the one with Winona Ryder. Ron Perlman's in it. I can't remember who directed it. It was some French dude. But Joss Whedon wrote the script for that.
Oh, okay.
And it definitely... It looks like it's kind of trying to harken back to more of an Aliens vibe.
Right.
But it's still very different.
Okay.
With that... The funny thing, too, in these movies, 3 out of 4 of the Alien movies, the alien is killed by getting blown out of the airlock, essentially.
Yeah.
Like there's only how... Alien 3 is the only one that departs from that one, and that's because they never go into space in Alien 3. They're, like, they're planet-side.
Are they on Earth?
I don't think it's just... Earth. It's like a prison planet colony.
Okay.
Or something along those lines. It's very weird. And it's like, Forrest Whitaker is in it. Pete Postlethwaite is in it.
That's the only thing I don't like about these movies. And let me just say, I've only seen the first two, but it sounds like it continues.
Those are definitely the most important to see.
Is like, it's like, the only thing I don't like about it, and it really doesn't ruin them, but I wish it would take like 2 minutes of exposition to make it clear. It's set in this weird time period where it seems like stuff is pretty much the same as we know it now. You know, because they do a lot of stuff like company, money, exploring planets. It seems very rooted in something like we could see happening. But then there's all this stuff where it's like deep sleep for these big travels and terraforming and stuff. It's like, so wait, is this like 100 or 200 years in the future, or is this like 10,000 years in the future? Like, it feels like it kind of like plays both sides of the fence sometimes, where it's like everyone kind of seems normal.
Yeah.
Like, we know them, but then there's a lot of things that are like, this is like Star Trek stuff.
Yeah, like we're terraforming.
Right, so it's like, what are we? Like, you know, I just wish that would be clarified sometimes, because like, that's the only thing. It seems like so many people live in space.
Yeah.
That's why it's like, is there still an Earth?
Yeah, I think Earth definitely still exists. They confirmed that in the fourth one.
Okay.
And actually, in the director's cut of this, which we didn't watch, there was one thing that I remember they didn't add. Ripley has a daughter who, of course, has died during the 57 years she was asleep between the first and the second film. Right. I know that at one point, at a couple points maybe in the first and second one, like, they mention, like, the time period, but, like, it's in passing. Like, at one point, she says something about, like, Burke sending something, and she, like, reads off, like, the log date or whatever, which is supposed to be, like, our clue. I want to say it's, like, maybe 300-400 years into the future.
Okay.
Then. So, around there. So, like,
it seems. It always seems like when they say it that it's not too... Even that's what's funny, too, is they do, like, an illegal immigration joke.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it's like...
How far removed are we?
Yeah, it's like, so are there still countries, or are we in this weird, like, future utopia where just we're all one planet? It seems like not that far ahead, but then some stuff, like, I'm just like, why are there so many people, like, living in space? Like, they get her back in the beginning of the second one, Sigourney Weaver character, Ripley, and then they're like, all right, well, you're back and you're good, and it's like, well, why does she have to, like, stay in space? Can't you send her to Earth?
Yeah, can she go?
Like, does everyone live in space now? And if so, that seems weird.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's the only issue I have with the Alien franchise, but otherwise, I'm a fan.
Okay, cool.
But I just was wondering if you ever thought about that.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Well, and even the Marines, when they're introduced, they're the Colonial Marines.
Right.
So it's not like it's not like United States Marine Corps. Like, it's clearly a separate thing that exists because it has to.
Right.
Because of all the terraforming, the colonization. So definitely until it was clarified later, we don't know that Earth exists.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm willing to bet that a lot of people would not regard Alien Resurrection as canon even.
Okay.
Four is so ridiculous. It's less ridiculous than Prometheus, but it's still pretty ridiculous. Okay. It's one of those ones that, like, I watch is like, this is fun because Ron Perlman is here now shooting aliens. but this is definitely a very silly film.
Gotcha.
Some other performers.
Okay.
Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton is good.
So fucking good. And I've read so many...
Is this like one of his first movies?
It's definitely one of his earlier ones. actually wanted to bring me...
Oh, he's in Weird Science, right?
Weird Science.
Was that before this? That was like 85, 84?
I think Weird Science was also in the first Terminator.
Was he in the first Terminator?
Yes, he's the first person that the Terminator kills.
Oh, yeah! He's one of the punk guys.
He's like, fuck you, buddy. And that's when Arnold gets the fuck you response for whatever.
Yes, yes.
But one of the great points, Bill Paxton and Lance Henriksen, the only two actors to have been killed by a Terminator, an Alien, and a Predator.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, when was Bill Paxton killed by a Predator?
Predator 2.
Oh, yeah, because he's the scientist guy.
Yeah. No. He's the cop on the subway. It's an off-screen.
Oh, yeah. Is it Busey is the other guy?
Busey, yeah. Okay, Busey's that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Okay,
but
I read you.
He's killed in that, and then Lance Henriksen, of course, also in the first Terminator film.
Yes.
He's the cop.
Right.
And then, years later, killed an Alien versus Predator.
Dude, that's such a good fun fact.
Yeah, and I love it. Like, and there's
wait, they bring him back in Alien vs. Predator.
He's
the first one, not Resurrection or what
it's
is
Requiem? Is
Requiem,
the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the first one, and I actually like this is one of the only times where like they've done kind of the prequel thing to justify something, because the android Bishop in this is modeled after his character in Alien vs. Predator.
Gotcha.
Because like he essentially. Funds the Weyland Corporation before it becomes like the Weyland-Yutani Corporation, which of course is the evil empire that sends them to the planet and shit.
Interesting writing. Good job. And that's a crazy fun fact.
Yeah, and I love it. Like, it's really cool. Like, for as silly as those movies are, which I love those movies, by the way.
Which ones?
The Alien vs. Predator movies.
Go ahead. You finish your thing.
But, yeah, for as silly as they are, like, I really do feel like nobody is saying... We're going to make money by cashing in on this franchise. Somebody says, like, this would be kind of a fun idea. And it is. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, I think the first one was, like, unwatchable dog shit. But to agree with you, I think the second one is crazy underrated and so good.
I love the
I think
the
second one is great. Because the second one, I think, is, like, more... Like, we see aliens versus predators versus humans in this weird triangle of fuck. Where it seemed like the first one was like, now we're buddies with the Predators, but they kind of are still going to blow us up, and there's this weird Mayan thing.
Yeah.
But the second one just seemed like what we wanted from the first one, and enough nods to the second one, like your get to the chopper scene.
Yeah.
And other like little things that were good throwbacks. So I thought that was a great one. Here's the thing that I think, you know, you're talking, why don't they make movies like this anymore? I think this is what's gone wrong, is it's like, you either have to make a great movie... Or like a movie that's so bad that people will watch it because it's bad. And it's like, whatever happened to just genre filmmaking? Does it just not exist anymore? Because that's why, like I love, like, Hard Target and Bloodsport. Like,
yeah.
I love those movies. And so there's this weird thing, like, when people come up to me and they're like, oh, you like Hard Target because it's, like, so bad? I'm like, no, it's just... Not I all like you know like you go through my movie collection like I own movies that have won Oscars. I also own Hard Target.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You watch movies for different reasons, and it's not either a great film or something that you just laugh at because it's so bad. There's movies that are just like you can be the best martial arts tournament movie.
Yeah,
you don't have to just be so bad that you're good. Like you can just be a good genre movie. Like those are like here's my proof. Like because when people are like, how can you say Hard Target is a good movie? Here's how I can say that action movies can be good. Because they can be bad.
Yeah.
As I'm a huge action movie fan, and I'll put one in and be like, this is boring.
Yeah.
I don't like it. So it's like, if you can fail at something, then
you can
just...
do well at it.
Yeah, conversely, just by the... That's like a math law or something. Yeah, there has to be a balance.
But Die Hard is proof that you can make a great action movie that's it's a good movie.
Right, exactly.
And like, I would even argue like for as much as people shit on stuff like, I love Demolition Man. Right. I think Demolition Man is a fucking amazing action movie.
I do like Demolition
Man.
It's
amazing
Man
science. It really is. It's hard sci-fi disguised as a Stallone action vehicle.
Yep.
And there's a lot of really great things it has to say.
Yeah. And it's funny. I mean, they do the like peaceful utopia thing really campy, but in a funny way. Like the fact that they only listen to jingles and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like that's all they do it campy in a very funny way. I think that movie's good.
I love that movie.
I think, like, the only genre that's really stuck around is, like, horror. You know, like, you can still just do a good horror movie. But it's hard to, like, do a good action movie. It's like, you gotta get Matt Damon, and you gotta make PG-13, and it's gotta be real slick, and like, and it's like, where's just a dude that's like, I don't like you, shoot.
I was actually watching something, Dan O'Brien, who's a writer for Crack.com, one of my favorite writers, did a really great video piece where he kind of, like, does this dissemination of popular culture thing, where, like, the buddy cop genre doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, you don't see those made. Like, I can't even think of the last movie that came close to that. Like, Rush Hour 3, maybe?
Yeah, that's probably the last one.
And that, honestly, I would argue barely qualifies as the buddy cop genre, because, like, that's clearly made as, like, hey, these first two made shitloads of money, like, let's just keep doing it.
You know what sucks about that, too, is it goes back to the Paul Reiser thing, too, is... For guys like us, doesn't it suck now that our chances of being in an action movie as comedians have taken a big nosedive?
Yeah.
Because there's no funny partner.
Yeah.
There's no sleazy business guy. There's no foil anymore.
Yeah. It's all gritty stuff.
Right.
It's like, oh, we need to be gritty. It's like, well, gritty can be realistic. Yeah. Like, we could have fucking Weasley guys, but... Why isn't Danny Stratton an informant in a movie right now?
Right. Like, I want to get famous in the next 10 years, and I want to do an action movie with, like, Ray Stevenson.
Yeah,
he's like he's like the hard-nosed detective, and I'm like the can't-do-any-right new kid. And we're going to go bust up a heroin ring.
and there should be shit like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We're going to run so long this episode, and I don't even care.
That's okay. How much time we got left? Are we already over?
We're close to it, but honestly, I don't care.
Okay,
we're going to talk until
bring us back. Bring us back to the point you want to hit. I'm ready.
Yeah, because we're getting into a lot of great stuff here. so there's some other things with Aliens, as far as, like, tonal stuff. This one, a lot of it just Ripley, this regular woman who, like, turns out to be a super badass. Not, like, because of maternal instinct, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, they find Newt the girl, and... I hate that, like, they leave this out of the cut, because I think she gets that way because she's lost her daughter, and, like, she finds out about it long after the fact. So, like, that maternal instinct kicks in. She's a fucking warrant officer. I can't even tell you what a warrant officer does, but I know it's nothing badass.
Nope.
And, like, there's that scene where, like, Hicks has to show her how to use a gun.
They made it seem like she's just, like, the dock worker of space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, she's just,
And then, oh, God. The fucking power loader scene. The fight with the alien queen. That's How great is that scene?
Yeah. He totally rips that off for Avatar.
He absolutely
bot
does.
Fighter things.
And, like, and Sigourney Weaver's even in Avatar, too. Like,
yeah.
Like,
well, that's why. What's his thing? Is that, like, a James Cameron thing? Because that was, like, Sarah Connor in Terminator. He's always has these, like...
Yeah, empowered female.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because in the first Terminator, like, Sarah Connor is... For lack of a better word, kind of worthless.
Yep.
And
she even gets naked too, so she pretty much takes on the generic lady in an action movie role. It's like follow the main protagonist around, fuck him towards like the end of Act Two, and then make it to the end.
But then after a perceived psychotic break, she just fucking becomes
that's
a badass.
What that's crazy. Yeah, the first one she's so just meat, and then in the second one she is. Fucking insane and like, such a good protagonist. Yeah, so good. I mean, especially when you have Arnold Schwarzenegger as a fucking Terminator.
And she holds her own next to Schwarzenegger.
They're perfect. Like she's not even like his sidekick. They're just like it's just like an army of two style.
Yeah, it's just them being badass and protecting her son.
It's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
I feel like we've talked about every movie but Aliens right now.
Bring back the Aliens. We're relating it. We're jumping
out. Yeah, absolutely.
What was the original jump off point? Oh, but yeah.
Well, the maternal instinct.
Yeah, I mean, Sigourney Weaver does it just as good. I mean, I think she's just as good as Sarah
Linda
Connor.
Hamilton.
Yeah, as Linda Hamilton, Sarah Connor character. I think, Ripley's a great character. But yeah, that's the only thing that's kind of funny is they kind of keep bringing her back. It seems like in 3 and 4 is this like alien expert because she's seen them and survived them. But it's weird because she isn't really anything trained special in terms of combat.
Yeah,
she
like,
just happened
just
to be around.
She survived.
Right.
That
would be like if everyone survived a tornado. They're like, you're a meteorologist now.
Yeah, like, what the hell?
You saw it.
Like, without, I'm probably gonna try to avoid jumping into other things, but how many franchise characters do you see like that? That like are these really great, awesome concepts.
Yeah.
But like a John McClane or a Ripley, but then they just get completely ruined. And I would argue that that's what 3 and 4 kind of does to Ellen Ripley is like.
Yeah.
It's not her. Just like the last Die Hard, like Bruce Willis is just playing a very bored Bruce Willis at this point.
Right.
I don't know. Like you want to see characters like that more because like. How many James Bond movies are there?
Right.
And, like, James Bond, those movies are fun, but, like, I don't think the character really became super interesting until Daniel Craig started playing him.
Right.
I would love to see Ripley and stuff. And Sigourney Weaver still looks fucking amazing. Like, 20-plus years after this movie made, yeah. Like, she's in Cabin in the Woods. Doesn't look like she looks, like, her hair is different, but
she
looks the fucking same, and that's amazing. Yeah. So... why aren't we getting more Ripley?
I don't know. That's a good question. Especially, maybe they could... They should get her and Schwarzenegger together to do an Alien vs. Predator.
Oh, God, that would be so bad.
You know, like, maybe the plot is that the Predators cloned Schwarzenegger, because he was, like, their toughest thing to hunt.
Yeah.
And then the aliens, I don't know, cloned... so the Ripley to find out what she knows about them, so they can use that against the humans. But then she breaks free. She finds Schwarzenegger on this planet, and then it's just they all fight
Dutch
each other.
And Ripley. I'm so fucking.
Like, right, that was a little scary. We'll work out the details, but let's write this in.
Well, like one of the things that like the first Alien vs. Predator thing I remember seeing was the arcade game, like the side-scrolling shooter.
Yep.
And Dutch was a character.
Yeah, I remember playing that game. Yeah.
It didn't look much like him, but it was clearly the same character. Because with the exception of Ed O'Neill, how many characters named Dutch have there been ever?
Dude, Dutch is such a good movie, too.
I feel like every other episode we do on here, like at some point during the conversation, it comes up.
That about Dutch?
I think we might have actually mentioned Dutch on a previous episode.
Ah, nice. That me. Yeah, but all right, so what were you saying? It always comes up.
When we did Jaws, like it was like, you would never see a movie like this get made today.
No.
Because just audiences have been spoiled and they don't have... the patience to put up with waiting till like the end of a movie to see the monster.
Right.
And like even with Aliens, like I feel like they use it sparingly enough.
Yeah, for sure.
But why don't these movies happen anymore? I don't know, great movies that are getting made, but like how many times do I need to see Paul Giamatti or Philip Seymour Hoffman play just this boring schlub who hates himself?
Yeah.
Fucking throw an alien in there.
Throw an alien in there, man. What if it's an alien that hates himself?
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know the full storyline, but I'm thinking, Sideways, but all the characters are aliens.
Oh, man, that'd be so fucking awesome. That should have just been the second Star Trek movie. Just like Simon Pegg and Carl Urban's characters, fucking Bones and Scotty, fucking go through alien wine country. Like, who gives a shit that a white British guy is playing Khan?
Exactly.
Like, let's do this.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think these movies are real good. They're fun, but like well done. You know, like it seems like I said, like if you're gonna do action, you gotta go over the top. Or silly or bad, and if you don't, you got to make it real serious, and it's got to be for an award.
Going back to Rambo, First Blood, fucking amazing movie.
First Blood's also good, yeah.
The body count for that movie is one.
Yeah,
like one person dies in that entire movie, and it's a great, great movie, and it's just unfortunate that we're not getting that.
Well, it's kind of like everything else, you know, when they just talk about, you know, like. You know, you just gotta, there's just no market for it, so everyone just, you know, kind of keeps people that could be good out of it. Like, I'm sure there's, especially this generation, you know, you look at people our age or a little older that go into movie making, they have to have seen these movies and liked them, but I feel like there's no market, so you kind of, people that could direct these kind of films well just go into other films just because they're pushed that way.
Yeah, it's like, I could make another Predator movie, but... I'm going to make August Osage County, whatever the fuck that was.
Right.
Like, going back, we talked about Predators earlier.
Yeah.
Like, made so many years after the last sequel.
Yeah.
And I honestly might be my favorite out of the three. And yeah. I love all of those movies. But the great thing about it, too, is it cast Adrian Brody against type. Like, yeah. if you had told me, like, after seeing The Pianist or anything, that I was going to see Adrian Brody be a badass on the level of Schwarzenegger in his prime, I would have said, you're fucking crazy.
Dude, Brody was really good in that.
He's
and
amazing.
I feel bad for him. That Brody cannot work himself out of that fucking like, god-awful face. That yeah. that intelligent design defying face, like it's just yeah. like goddamn, look at that body, but oh man, still
but like it's still beat up in the face. Like he's yeah. he's doing like the he Batman got, voice and everything.
He
like,
got so diesel, and he got such an attitude on him. I bought in. I thought the same thing. I'm like Adrian Brody, and then I went and saw that in I think in the theater.
So did I
think
yeah.
it was Dollar Theater, but I saw it in the theater, and I was like. Alright, man, you did it. Like, within the first 15 minutes, I was like, I'm on board.
Yeah.
I'm on board, jacked Adrian Brody.
So, like, yeah, it's like, obviously, like, these kinds of movies can still happen and be
well,
good.
Well, do you think that that's the problem, though, is, like, you know, it's like you said, like, we've burned out all the good franchises, and all, even the Expendables is really just... A franchise parallel, even though
oh, yeah,
it's, even though it's its own franchise, it's really
it's
relying on
much,
like
yeah.
old dudes. Like, don't you think we need new franchises? Like, that's
yeah.
the problem. Is like, anytime these movies come out, they're just rehashed. They're either remakes or sequels, and it's like you can't you know like Live Free or Die Hard would have been a good movie without those characters. And
yeah.
in fact, I think we both agree that it hurt it a little that we have character expectations that
yeah,
they don't
absolutely.
Live up to. But if you just look at it as a movie on its own, it's actually not a bad movie.
Yeah, like
so why not just have it, just Rogue Cop whoever, just call him Dan Jibs. And,
yeah.
and he picks up this young dude, and then they got to stop this guy. And because the plot is super relevant to today, this kind of cyber terrorist and... versus this old-timey guy, but he's got his young tech partner. It's a great, simple, fun idea. Cool stunts. I think car into the helicopter is a great stunt.
Yeah, it
so it's
is.
Like, I don't know why it has to be a Die Hard movie, but it seems like the only way you can sell these studios. Be like, hey, I want to do a cool practical effects rated R action movie. And they're like, can we make it PG-13 and can it be an old movie?
Yes.
And it's like, why?
Did you see Olympus Has Fallen?
Yes,
Olympus Has Fallen was the best Die Hard movie that's come out in
yes.
the last like 5 years.
And I heard that they're doing a sequel, so maybe
so,
that.
I'm on board with that.
I would love to see. Is that
Gerard
Butler?
Yeah.
I would love
fucking
to see
amazing.
Him play that character like five times deep. I would love to see him in the fifth one. I would love him to take it until he ruins it. I want to see him
yeah.
in number six with like a cartoon dog. You know, like I just want that.
I think so on board with a cartoon dog.
Because that's, I feel like they're doing a really throwback cool thing. Because who was the guy that directed the Olympus Has Fallen?
It was the guy that did Training Day.
Yeah, what's his name?
Anton Fuqua.
Anton Fuqua. He did a good job. Really, the only problem I had with it was a little bit of the CGI
yeah,
and the plane
yeah,
stuff. But anything that was hand-to-hand was good.
Yeah, the
anything that was shooting was good. So I just think that was budgetary, so I don't blame him. I think
yeah.
if he could have crashed a real plane, he would have.
Yeah,
based on the rest of the movie. So
yeah.
I ain't mad at you, Antoine. Yeah. But, yeah, because I think the second one, I can't remember.
White House Down?
No.
Oh.
I'm saying I've heard the plot details for the second Olympus Has Fallen.
Oh, okay.
It's called Olympus Is Something or Something Has Fallen. I think
yeah.
they just do the classic sequel thing, like what used to be classic. I think they just make it bigger. I think he's still
Olympus
the bodyguard.
Can't get up.
I think they take him like to a UN something.
Yeah.
And then like all
no,
the
like
guys yeah
scale.
Like all the guys get captured and he has to kill all the guys so it's like I would love if that's how they used to do it is like so and then the third one it could just be like oh well he saved the president now he saved the world now he's the head of this anti-terror group and he, you know he could become like you know like a more badass 80s 90s style like is it Jack Ryan the Tom
yeah,
Clancy
yeah,
guy
yeah,
like
Jack
he could
Ryan.
Become that guy and like we don't have enough of those guys. We don't have enough of those franchises.
Yeah.
This, even though it's a very specific, like, White House movie, which seems very specific, I think the kind of characters they created and the vibe they created could totally be, like, the next Die Hard.
Yeah, definitely.
Or the next, like, you know, what was the Chuck Norris character? from that was in like three movies, like
Lone Wolf McQuade.
Lone Wolf McQuade, like yep. he could be a dude like that. It could be really good.
Well, actually, I like that you mentioned Jack Ryan because like that character has been played in 4-5 different movies over like 20-30 years.
Yeah,
because Harrison Ford played him. I think Jack Ryan was in Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, Ben Affleck played him too, right?
Ben Affleck played him in Summer of All Fears. And then most recently there was this just dog shit looking Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit with Chris Pine from Star Trek.
It looks real bad.
But clearly like they're trying to jump on board like that franchise kind of idea, but like it's just mucky in the execution.
Yeah, Taken
could have been. Taken could have been.
It got too Frenchy. It got too European.
Well, it's not even that.
Not even the setting, but it was just that. It was very Bourne action, and I don't care for that.
Yeah, like Bourne worked for Bourne, but then every action movie was like, let's be the Bourne movies. Like, no, be your own thing.
Yeah.
Like, let the Bourne trilogy be the Bourne trilogy.
Yeah, and it seemed like it from Taken 1 seemed pretty standard, its own voice.
Yeah.
2 got really Bourne-y.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, it's in Europe, can you make it Bourne-y? And they're like, no. And they're like, well, you can't have money then. And we're like, fine.
Well, it was really boring, too. Like, the action scene, like, I just watched it recently, like, right before New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just the, like, even the action sequences were scaled down. Like, it was not even on the same level.
Yeah.
Like, it definitely felt like, they were like, hey, Liam Neeson, do you want to do this? Like, we're not making another Narnia movie, sure. Like, I'll come do this, I guess. I only got to be in the last Batman movie for a minute, I gotta get something going.
Yeah, that's a shame, man. That was one that I thought had some potential.
It had legs, and fucking, Luc Besson, who fucking did The Professional and Fifth Element.
Yeah.
What was it? From Paris with Love with John Travolta, which over the top, but I actually really like.
Yeah.
Like, Luc Besson can make good movies, and then, like, I feel like he just kind of lapsed into a comfort zone with the second Taken. So, like, he wrote it, but I don't think he directed either of them.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I think the closest we have, and hopefully it spurns more because it's been doing well, is like the Fast and Furious franchise.
Oh, the last two Fast and Furious movies were so goddamn good.
So good. I think the 7th's going to be good. R.I.P. Paul Walker, but I think it's still going to be good.
Yeah, well, and they got Statham this time around, which...
Yes, and that's why, to me, that's how you do those action franchises, man, is you just say like, did you not like the last one? A new one's coming next year, so you got another chance.
Like, Statham is clearly cut out to be an action star.
Oh, the best.
Like, he's like 50-50 on, like, he's great in both Expendables. I love the Transporter movies. Like,
I like the first one. I was not a fan of the second. I did not see the third.
Third one's okay. Like, the story's not great, but the action sequences more than make up for it.
Okay.
2 is actually probably my favorite out of the 3.
I did not care for 2. Sorry.
That's alright. Agree to disagree.
Yeah, he's great. That's my thing, man. Good dude. You know, have you ever seen, like, any Scott Adkins films?
He was the guy that was, Jean-Claude Van Damme's right-hand man in the films, too, right? I have not. I remember
but
we talked about this at one point.
He is a straight-to-DVD god.
Okay.
And there's just no audience for him in the mainstream, but he keeps plugging away. And if this was, like, 1991, he would be Van Damme. Or anyways, like, I would suggest The Tournament... Undisputed 3.
The Undisputed 3 was the one you were telling me about.
And there's two, Ninja and Ninja 2.
Ninja 2.
Ninja 2's on Netflix. Ninja 1 used to be. Ninja 2's on Netflix. So good.
Do I need to see Ninja to get the context of Ninja 2?
I think you get it without it.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll get the idea. Yeah.
It doesn't go much deeper than he's a ninja, I'm assuming.
No. And maybe it's so throwback. Tell me how throwback this story seems. Is he was a white baby... that got dropped off at a dojo in Japan.
And learned how to ninja.
And he learned how to ninja. and there's a Japanese ninja who does not care that his father, or I don't know if it's his father or just the dojo master, has taken such care to this talented white ninja. So he turns on the dojo and then they fight.
That's such a specific 80s, early 90s genre. Yeah.
Dude, the white...
like, there were all the American Ninja movies.
The American Ninja movies.
Showdown in Little Tokyo with Brandon Lee and Dolph Lundgren.
Yep.
Dolph Lundgren's just fascinated with Kung Fu.
Yeah, and man. Yeah, dude, the white ninja was so 80s, 90s.
Like, that one... that genre maybe deserved to take a nap for a while.
Right, and that's why this one, it's not as bad as those. It keeps it simpler. It doesn't get as goofy, but But it's a nice nod, and also, yeah, the fight scenes are just awesome.
See, I'm willing to forgive so much in an action movie that the fight scenes are so really
just
great.
It's throwback, just good choreography. That's all. It's fight scenes are not that hard to do
if you
are talented at it. Yeah. You know, I feel like it sounds like an oxymoron, but I mean, dude, you go to Asia, any of these countries, you could find good choreography guys. Pay them, get a solid director that knows his camera work, get a good fighter. Again, there's plenty of those guys. You can even train someone with a good gymnastics degree to do fight choreography. And get a couple million dollars and shoot it. It's not that hard. Come on, Hollywood. It's not that hard.
We could make a ninja movie at this point.
Yeah, well, that's the point. If someone gave me the money, I know enough I could do it because the talent's all out there. It's just there's not a home for them anymore. Or they just make their scratch just like, hey, can you, you know, do choreography for a fight scene in this movie that's not like an action movie now or something? Yeah. They kind of sparse their talents elsewhere. But the guys are out there. They're doing good stuff. You just really have
There's white ninjas in the wings.
What's a genre of anything that's like dead, but you can still find it if you really dig? That's action movie. You can find great action movies now, but you gotta dig. And you gotta stay away from the theaters.
Yeah,
they're all going straight to DVD or VOD.
I think hard sci-fi is like coming more and more sparse. Like real, like last year, like you had Elysium.
Yeah,
but even that like was still very very action heavy.
Elysium was tits.
And it was really good. It was great, but like I feel like really like
all the action's been delegated to superheroes.
Yeah,
those are the only guys that get to fight people and shoot stuff and blow stuff up anymore.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that like is crazy about that is like those movies get lumped into sci-fi now.
Yeah.
It's like the Avengers, like action sci-fi. It's like what, because a fucking Viking with a hammer, like
yeah.
That's just you lazily saying you don't want to call it a superhero movie because you can't acknowledge that that's a genre that exists now and has existed.
Right.
Whereas like I wouldn't fucking put Blade Runner in the same category as Avengers, and those are both movies I really like.
Right.
But I hate that like it's just this kind of like. Pawn off because like, well, what else are we going to put it in with?
Yeah. Do you want to ask me anything else about aliens?
Yeah. Let's bring it back to aliens. Let's wrap it up.
We should close on the movie.
Yes.
But this was still good. I'm not mad.
No, me either.
I just want to let's bring it back and close strong.
Yeah, absolutely. So bringing back to aliens, we talked about some of the performances in this. The thing I started mentioning earlier, and then I got sidetracked on the Hendrickson Paxton being killed by everything thing. A lot of people complain about Hudson's characters, like, oh, well, he's annoying, and we don't like seeing our heroes, like, you know, showing like moments of weakness. Like, you realize, like, you're complaining about like realistic characters before that became commonplace for things.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's absolutely over the top, but, like. If I were in that fucking situation, like, I would want to be Hicks. I'd want to be Ripley.
Right.
Like, it's like the fucking Die Hard bit I do. Like, we're, like, the most ineffectual person in that scene. Like, whether it's fucking, the fucking Al Powell from fucking Die Hard.
Yeah.
Or fucking Hudson here in Aliens. Like, we get put in that situation, we're gonna be very hard-pressed to... fucking sack up about it.
Yeah, no, I didn't think he was annoying. I thought he was, yeah, you get it. Like you said, it makes sense in the context.
Yeah.
And, it also, it's good because it makes the people you want to stand out as badasses good. It gives them, like, a backdrop to shine against, so.
Yeah, like,
it works both ways.
Yeah, like, if you put Ripley, like, with the cast of the Expendables in that movie, like, the only reason she's going to stand out at that point is because she's a woman. It's not even because she's a badass one. It's just because, like, hey, here's, like, 8 dudes and a UFC fighter, but also here's Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. Also, speaking of Gina Carano needs to be in more stuff, right? can they resurrect the Alien franchise with her?
Oh, man. I would be for it if they could do it well.
She's just, I love her. I remember we used to do when she was Crush on the New Gladiators, and when the New Gladiators aired, I used to get together with some buddies and we used to DVR it, and then we had like American Gladiators drinking game. And we used to watch it, and we all fucking thought Crush was the hottest woman in the history of women because she was so smoking hot, and she was such a good gladiator. And it just continued into her mixed martial arts and acting, where I'm like, she's so hot, and look at her kick that dude. Perfect woman.
Alright, do you have any other
thoughts? I don't think so. The only other funny thing, I think, is, like, just real quick, is, like, yeah, I love how kind of, like, a movie about the future or something, can it's still a slave to its time in a certain way.
Yeah.
And I liked watching all these super ships and space stations run on what appeared to be DOS.
Yeah. yep.
So apparently that was still the main thing, is still like run this giant megaship, sea prompt blast off. Yeah, but like... it doesn't take away. I think this, I'm surprised 86, again, I kind of would have guessed that just because what I know about movie history. But yeah. If you would have told me, I might have guessed early 90s more so. But
yeah,
this is another movie, like, I saw nothing that really made it not hold up. And that's also the thing that's a shame about remakes, is I saw when Total Recall came out.
Yep.
My girlfriend at the time was like, hey, that looks kind of good. And I was like, have you seen the original? She's like, no. I was like, let's watch the original. And we watched it, and we were both, you know, like, why did they need to remake this? Like,
yeah,
if you want to watch Total Recall, just watch Total Recall.
Exactly, yeah.
There's some movies that I agree, it's like, man, this is a great concept. It was just limited by the time, or was done poorly, but we see the light. Let's remake it and, like, just do it right.
Yeah.
That was not one by any means. Great story, great effects, and everything holds up. So I agree, like, this is another one of those movies where I just watched it, and I'm just like, if you want an alien movie and you haven't seen this, or if you have, just pop this in. You don't necessarily need the studio to CG you want.
Exactly.
And the only, like, I think some of the faraway ship shots maybe are a little like, age it a little. But
yeah,
that's
definitely.
What, you could see a new movie and you'll have CG space ship shots that are bad. Yeah, they're bad. Yeah. or they're at least bad in their own way. So yeah. It's like, it's a movie. Not everything's going to look perfect, but I think this one stands up. I think you watch it now. If you can't enjoy it, you're silly. Good movie. That's my final thought, I guess. good movie. Watch the classics. They're not all... They don't all look like shit just because they were shot a while ago. Some of them do. And they deserve to... They deserve to be watched by fans and no one else. But some of them can be watched by anybody. This is one of them.
Yeah. And at the same time, too, like, if a movie is fucking good enough, if it's written well enough, the acting is good enough, like, if it's interesting enough... Who gives a shit if a couple, like I said, like a couple of the shots, like, ship looks kind of CG'd in.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. Like, the movie, more than me, I love RoboCop.
Yeah.
And the ED-209.
Yeah.
Doesn't, like,
that's
the effects on it doesn't hold up.
That's rough.
But the movie's so good that it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, and they keep it out of it enough, you know, that you don't really
it's
see
not
it
in
enough.
Every scene.
And then the big thing is that everything else is great. And that's the thing, like, in this, like, Alien is another good job where it's, like, all the little things you can pick apart are in it smallly, but the alien looks great.
Yeah, the alien looks amazing.
You know, the exploding aliens look great, all the explosions look great, you know, the weapons, everything else that's an effect is good. Same with RoboCop. RoboCop had great action sequences, so just because they had one claymation-looking robot, you'll forgive it. It's only in the movie for a few minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. All right, well, thank you, Justin Golak, for being
you,
on
Dustin.
The show. It's been a lot of fun. We talked about aliens, kind of, and a lot of other things. but I've had a blast. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.
Join me next week for a very special three-parter where Danny Stratton and I take Tim Myers through the Cornetto trilogy, Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg's films consisting of Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End. If you have any questions, comments for the show, send them to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Check out the new page on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes, and we'll catch you next time.